Ecclesiastes. Chapter 11, verse 1. We just read the one verse. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Let's pray. Father, help us now this evening. We ask that you'd be in our midst, meet with us. This would just not be another hour we spend together, but it might be a time of profit, a time of learning, a time of growing closer to thee, a time to reassess, Lord, that we might look upon the fields which are white unto harvest. I pray, Lord God, speak to our hearts tonight, encourage us in the things of God. We thank you for this day, its blessings, its the things you provided. Lord, thank you for the visit from Brother and Sister Jacobs. And Lord, thank you for their faithfulness and steadfastness over these 30-plus years. What a blessing that is. We just thank you for it. But I pray now, Lord God, that you would meet with us here in this place tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. I told you this morning I'm going to bring you a message entitled Bread and Water. That's what they give prisoners who have been bad. Let's put them down in the hole, give them bread and water for 30 days. He said, man, I'd get really tired of that. Oh, I bet you'd really like it. You'd be so hungry from one meal to the next, you'd be craving that bread. And if you just got a drink of water every time you got a piece of bread, I bet you at the end of 30 days you'd be thanking God for bread and water. Amen. I grew up eating beans and taters, and I don't ever remember getting tired of beans and taters. Because every time I'd get hungry, I'd walk in the back door of the house, and I could smell them taters frying in the pan. I could smell them beans in the pot. And I knew I wasn't going hungry. Amen. I'll tell you right now, you know, we thought we was poor. Well, the honest truth is we didn't think that. I learned to think that after I grew up. I didn't know we were poor. Because everybody around us lived just like we live. Right? I had to grow up and get educated and exposed to the world before I became dissatisfied with who we were and what we were. I was perfectly content. I thought the whole wide world lived just like we did. I thought beans, taters, cornbread, and fatback meat was, that was just, that's what you eat. You know? boy, we learned to be dissatisfied with that, though, don't we? We was eating poor. I didn't realize we was eating all that protein. So I had to grow up and learn to get on that carbohydrate diet. Then you got to learn how long carbohydrates are bad for you. You need to get on the protein again. If I had just stayed with them beans and taters, I'd have been all right. But anyway, every meal we had, we had it with bread. My mama would fix cornbread. My mama would fix biscuits. Now, I remember when I was a teenager and things changed, there was a radical change in our house because Pillsbury had canned biscuits. But we used to call them wok biscuits. Because you take that little thing and pull it around like that, and you'd whop it on the countertop and it'd blow up, and they had 10 little biscuits in it. And after my mama found them, I don't think she ever made another biscuit. So I've had a grudge against Pillsbury all these years. But we had bread. Now, you know, bread and water, you live a long time on bread and water. That bread's got all that vitamin E and stuff in it. So I want to talk to you about bread and water, but not exactly like we're used to thinking about it. Ecclesiastes said, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it, the bread. The it is bread, right? You cast water, cast bread up on the water, you shall find it. So the it is a reference to the bread. You shall find the bread, you shall find it after many days. That's coming back to you. Now let's take a few minutes and examine what kind of bread we're talking about and what kind of water we're talking about. We need to make a spiritual application. We need to understand, you know, every passage of Scripture is good for more than one thing. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And so the way to learn what a passage is really all about is you compare Scripture with Scripture. Amen? So let's see if we can define what the bread is and what the water is. You say, why do we need to do that? It's just bread and water. Well, not really. I mean, just think about this for a minute. If he was talking about physical bread, if he's talking about one of your mama's cathead biscuits, and you throw it out on the water, you're not going to find it in many days. It ain't coming back. It's going to get all wet and soggy, and the waves are going to break it apart. It'll dissolve and get all yucky and smushy, and the brim eat it, and you ain't ever going to see that bread again. Right? So you know when you read the thing that you're not talking about literal physical bread. There's a spiritual semblance here. He's using the bread to illustrate something else. So let's find out what it is. Let's see if we can figure out what the bread is and what the water is according to a Bible definition. The Bible said in John chapter 6, verse 48, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So Jesus said, he's the bread. And he is the word. All right? And we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So where does our bread come from? Our bread is a spiritual bread, and it comes from the mouth of God. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus Christ is the Word, and he is the bread. So the bread here is the Word of God. God feeds the world spiritually with the Word, the bread that comes from Jesus Christ. Amen? Everybody with me now? So when we're talking about bread here, we're talking about the Word of God, and it feeds man. All right, now, not only do we have the person of the bread, who are the waters? What waters? Now, if the bread is really in reality, the Word of God is the bread, who then or what then is the water? If it's not talking about physical bread, then it's certainly not talking about physical water. Okay? So let's see if we can figure that out. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1 and verse 15. Revelation 17, 1. I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now we're talking about casting the bread upon the what? Upon the waters. I'll show you the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now what waters are that? The waters which thou sawest, verse 15, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are. So here's what the waters are. This is not my interpretation. This is what the Bible said the waters are. The Bible said the waters are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So, what are the waters? Well, it's the sea of humanity. The waters are people and nations and tongues. What is the bread? The bread is the Word of God. So now when it says, cast your bread upon the waters, it's talking about taking the Word of God and giving it where? to the world, casting it upon the sea of humanity. See? Now, boy, that opens up. That's a big field we got there. Amen? And so I want to talk to you about that. And by the way, all these are done in peas. Even the last one, which I had to cheat on because I couldn't find a good pea. So, point number one is the person of the bread. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's the people of the water, which are the peoples, nations, languages of the world. Then there's the proposed use of the bread. He said, cast your bread upon the waters. We're supposed to take the Word of God and cast it upon. We're supposed to take the Word of God and give it to the world. Cast it upon. What does this world need more than it needs anything else? It needs the Word of God. Bread gives life and sustenance. We live by the bread. The bread can keep us from perishing. And so we need to feed the souls of men, and we need to feed it with the bread that comes from God. If a person would be spiritually alive, he must eat of the bread of life. So the proposed use of the bread is to cast it away. It's not to keep it for yourself. The bread is supposed to be shared. What God gives you, you're supposed to give to somebody else. You're supposed to take the bread that God gives you, the understanding of the Word of God. When God takes the Bible and the Word of God and feeds your soul and blesses you and enriches your life, you're supposed to take that and share it. You're supposed to cast it upon the water. You're to share it with the rest of the world. By the way, if you're sharing it with the world, you have to share it with everybody. You have to share it with all kinds. If you ever think about this, when the Bible said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, you can't decide and select who you will and won't share it with. You're as obligated to preach the gospel to black men and try and get them saved as you are any white man you ever met. Amen. Well, I know down south, you know, we have our prejudices and our bigotries and all this, that. You can't do that in Christianity. Amen. Now, I believe in separation of races. We had that black couple here this morning. They don't believe in interracial marriage. They're opposed to it, buddy, and they teach it in their church. They think blacks ought to marry blacks, whites ought to marry whites. They're as gun barrel straight on Bible doctrine as anybody you'll meet. Now, I understand that's a rarity. But that's because somebody had the courage to teach them the truth. And when they saw the truth, they believe it. Amen. I don't know how I got off on that. Now, when you cast your bread upon the water, you don't know who's going to get it. You just take and cast it out there. Maybe some Muslim gets it. Maybe some Hindu gets it. Maybe some Church of Christ gets it. Maybe some Baptist gets it. Wouldn't that be a blessing to have some saved Baptists running around? You cast it, that's an indiscriminate act. You don't have, most of the time, a specific target. We're just putting it out. We're putting it out for everybody. And anybody that wants it is welcome to it. Amen? I wish everybody would try and feed on the Word of God. I wish we could cast enough out there to feed them all. And we wouldn't worry about their religion or their sex or their nationality or their race or any of that stuff. Amen? I'd love to live in a world filled with saved white men and saved black men. That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? So we need to cast our bread upon the waters. So we're supposed to give the Word of God to the people of the world. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You have to take your prejudices and your likes and dislikes and tuck them up under your arm and obey God. There should not be one individual on the face of God's earth that you are not willing, not anxious to share the bread of life with. Amen. Then, in the passage we read, we need to look at the patience that's required. It said, and after many days. Now, we live in an instant gratification society. I don't care what we're doing, we want it done right now. We want instant oatmeal and instant grits, and we want instant communication. Amen. Young people in our society today don't want to have to wait on anything. They want everything mom and daddy spent 40 years working for. They want it right now. They don't want to wait to grow up. They want to pretend they're grown up when they're 14 or 15. Of course, they want to come back and live on mom and daddy until they're 25 and 30. Which proves what? They weren't grown up. Anyway, we want everything right now. We want instant success, instant gratification, instant satisfaction, and the world just doesn't work. Some things take time. Now, I'm here to tell you that you can't rush salvation, and you can't rush feeding the world. You can take your bread, you can take the Word of God and cast it upon the waters. You can witness to as many as you want, and sometimes you see a result and sometimes you don't. It said, and after many days, it shall return unto thee. Now, I know there's a movement afoot in our country and have been now for a number of years where you go on visitation or you witness to somebody and everybody you talk to is supposed to get saved in 3 minutes. We got this little Romans Road plan of salvation, and I'm not knocking the Romans Road. I'm knocking the application of the Romans Road. I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit does not bring conviction up on every individual in the first 2 minutes you talk to them. And not everybody you talk to is going to get saved the first time or two. You have to plant a seed, and you have to come back and water it, and work on it, and wait on it, and sometimes it takes a while, and after many days. That's the reason you see all these churches, they say, well, we had 5,000 conversions last year, and we baptized 6, and we've added 1 to the church. Well, how come? Because salvation doesn't work that way. That's why. It takes time to plant a seed and let it nurture and take root and germinate and then come forth. Amen? And when it comes forth as a twig. It comes forth as a baby plant, tender and delicate. I never will forget one time I was a boy. Somebody had planted some beans alongside our house. And we didn't have any topsoil. We lived in an old rented house. It was just run down raggedy thing. And the dirt out there was just red mud, hard. But somebody had stuck some beans down in there and poured water on them. And you know what? They came up. Now, I sat there one day and I marveled. Because I pulled one of them little bean plants up, and you can smunch it between your fingers. It doesn't have any real substance. It's mostly just water. You just do it like that and ruin it. But that little plant had taken that old red, hard, dried mud and pushed right up through it and cracked it. And there was chunks of red mud there this big around. That little plant had slowly but surely cracked that ground and pushed it out and pushed that and stuck its little head up through the dirt. But it was so tender, the least little thing would damage it and it would die. Listen, when you plant the seed, when you cast your bread upon the water and it takes root, it takes a while for it to germinate. You know, a lot of times you don't see success. You don't see result. What you're doing, you're planting seed. You're planting seed, and you got to remember that. And after a while, after the seed is planted, somebody else waters it and fertilizes it and takes care of it and keeps the weeds out of it. And pretty soon maybe it gets a little head stuck up through the ground. But you got to remember, it's just a little baby thing. It's a delicate thing, and it needs watching out for. This thing where you go out and spend an hour on visitation lead 15 people to Christ every Saturday? I don't believe it. Matter of fact, it scares me. I'm afraid a lot of them people are lost and on their way to hell, and they're going to hang on to that empty profession of faith and ride right into hell on it. I don't want that on my conscience. Amen. So we have to have some patience when casting our bread up on the waters. If you put the Word of God out, give it some time. It'll come back. It's amazing what sticks in people's head. It's amazing sometimes what God uses to speak to somebody's heart, to get their attention. Now, you can read all kind of stories and testimonies about how some people came to Christ. And you'll find most of the time there was a process. Something happened in their life, and it caused them to think, but they pushed it away. And then later on, something else happens, and they think about it, and they examine their life, and this, that, and the other, but and they push it off, and then something else happens. And each time, it gets stronger and stronger, until finally they come to a point and a realization that they need Christ, and they can't help themselves. And after a while, they get, and you say, well, I led that guy to Christ in 5 minutes. Yeah, but it's probably been 3, 4, 5, 10 years in the process. You got to have some patience. But if you don't cast the seed upon the water, if you don't cast the bread upon the water, you ain't ever going to see anything. You got to spend some time witnessing. You got to talk to folks about God. You got to talk to folks about eternity. You have to talk to folks about their salvation. And if you don't, you're not ever going to see anything come back. So we have to do it with patience. Then, not only is there the person of the bread, the people of the water, the proposed use of the bread, the people of the casting, the patience required, there is the promise made. I love this part. What that verse said? For thou shalt find it after many days. If you keep putting it out, it will come back. You know, one of the things that encourages me in the ministry is not generally God's people. God's people are a discouraging bunch. You preach week after week, Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday, and you bury some folks, you marry some folks, you counsel some folks, and for the most part, people just go on year after year and month after month, and you don't see much change, and you don't see any growth, and you don't see any progress. And I want to tell you the honest truth, buddy, humanly speaking, that is discouraging. You know what keeps a preacher going? God's promise. He said, if you keep casting the bread upon the water and casting the bread upon the water and casting the bread upon the water, after many days, it shall return unto thee. I just believe if I just keep at it and stay at it and work at it and stay faithful to it and do it week in and week out and month in and month out and year after year and after year after year after year, sooner or later, I'm going to see something come back. I'm going to see some results. You know why I keep on? Because I just want to see something happen. I want to see it come back. And that's the way you have to be. You say, well, I witnessed to these people, or I witnessed to my children, or I witnessed to my grandchildren. Don't quit. Amen. Keep setting that example. Keep being faithful to the things of God. Don't give them any place in your life to point a finger. You have a testimony that's unreproachable. You be consistent day in and day out. And when you get an opportunity, I know you can't preach to them 24/7. And you know, you can't do that. They won't come around. But you get a chance every now and then. They'll say something. They'll see something. Something will come up. And you can interject God into that conversation. You can get a little lick in here and a little lick in there. Cast a little bread on the water. Sooner or later, one of these days, come back. How do you know that? Because God said it would. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and after many days, it shall return unto thee. I've got God's word that if we will cast our bread upon the water, it will come back. It'll be profitable. There'll be a profit. There'll be a benefit to it. Just need some patience in seeing it. Then there's the person of the casting. It's to cast thy bread. thy bread. That's a personal thing, isn't it? I'm the thy. You're the thy. Thou means you. It says, cast thy bread. I'm not going to cast Brother Lewis's bread. I don't know what God's fed Brother Lewis. I have to take what I've been fed with. I need to take my bread, the experience God has given me, the light God's given me, the understanding God's given me, and that's all I've got to work with. And if I'm going to feed the world, I can only offer them what I have. Amen? So I take the bread that God, so if God speaks to you, if God feeds you with the Word of God, if God feeds you with the bread of life, you're supposed to take of that bread and you eat some for yourself and you give the rest to the world. You're supposed to share it. Now we have a lot of fat people in America. And most of it's not a gland problem. Most of it is a mouth problem. We just keep filling our mouth. We overeat. You go down to McDonald's and you could get a regular burger and a regular fry and a Diet Coke. But we don't do that. We get a triple burger, 3/4 pounder or whatever it is they call them, and a biggie fry and a 20-ounce Coke. Amen. We feed ourselves. We stuff ourselves. We glutton up on ourselves. We overfill our little bellies. We run around with that big old belly. And we want to sit around in the sun because we're fat as a hog. And it's not because we've got a gland problem. It's because we just ate too much. Amen. And it seems like the more we eat, the more we just want to sit around and do nothing. What we ought to do is eat enough for us, and if there's any extra, share it with somebody else. And when you get fed at church, don't just keep it to yourself and be a big old fat spiritual hog laying over in the sunshine. Take what you got, if it was a blessing to you, if it fed your soul, if it strengthened you, if it encouraged you, share it with somebody. Cast thy bread upon the water. You know, there's a lot of folks out there starving to death spiritually. Whose responsibility is it to cast the bread? Well, I believe the preacher and the deacons ought to be out there witnessing for God and preaching the word. Yes, I do too, bless God. But I think thou ought to. I think you ought to take thy bread and cast upon the water. I think it's as much your responsibility, it's as much your obligation to cast your bread upon the water as it is for me, Brother Lewis, to cast our bread upon the water. Amen. Nobody gets a pass. If God feeds you and there's any excess, you're required by God to cast it upon the water. Eat so much as good for thee and do what with the rest? Cast it upon the water. Every Christian ought to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Every Christian ought to be an evangelist. Amen. Now, you may not stand in a pulpit. You may not go to a foreign country. But your life ought to represent Christ, and your mouth ought to speak of Christ. Your hand ought to pass out literature for God. Amen. You ought to be, every day of your life, casting your bread upon the water and praying for God to bring it back. And bring it back and multiply it and bless you. Then there's the pleasure found in casting your bread. Now, there's two things about that. Number one, when you get the bread, you get to feed on it. Amen? The Word of God feeds you and sustains you, and you grow from eating and consuming that bread. You come to church to get fed. You know, bless God, all we ever down here, around here, get beat up. Well, that's what y'all need to eat. We need the Word of God. And now, when we say feed, you know, a lot of times you eat stuff you don't like. My wife's on some kind of rigmarole, man. I'll tell you, that's the biggest mess I ever seen. I ain't doing it. And I'll tell you that right now. I'm just going to croak. My triglycerides and all that stuff get out of whack. I'm just going to have to perish. Just have a stroke and die is to die in that mess. But she eats it because it's healthy. Amen. And she actually got more energy and stuff on it. I don't understand that. If I could make a big old pot roast, would be a whole lot better for me. But be that as it may, it's not pleasant food, but it is profitable food. What she's eating is a lot better for her than what I'm eating. It just don't look as good or taste as good. But it is. And a lot of times the Word of God isn't always pleasant to our senses. I don't know anybody that likes being fussed at or rebuked or chided or admonished or corrected. I can't remember ever liking any of that. But it's necessary. It's a part of life. And then every now and then you get a little dessert, you know, with your beans and potatoes. But the Word of God is a blessing to our heart. It feeds us. And so we are fed of the Word of God and sustained by the Word of God. That's what keeps us strong and healthy. And it takes the right diet of that. There has to be protein. There has to be carbohydrate. There has to be vitamins and minerals. It takes all kind of different messages and preaching. And we have to preach on all kind of different subjects and some more than others, you know. You ever notice it takes a lot more protein in your diet than it does iodine? Now, iodine is necessary. If you don't have some iodine in your salt, then you get goiters. But it only takes a little bit of that. But it takes a whole lot of protein. You got to have some carbohydrates. You need a lot of vitamin A. And you need all them B-complex vitamins. Well, preaching the same way. It takes all kind of preaching on all kind of subjects to feed you and keep you healthy. And it takes some in larger quantities than others. Amen? If you only got a 2,000 calorie a day diet, you know, the protein's going to be, one meal can be 50%. You ever see that thing on the bottles? 60%, you know, this thing supplies 60% of your vitamin B based on a 10-ounce serving on a 2,000-calorie-a-day diet. Well, different messages feed different ways, but it's what keeps you healthy. And if you get the right kind of preaching and the right balance, it will make you healthy spiritually. Now, once you get healthy, what a blessing you've got from the Word of God. You got fed and sustained by it. But then you've got bread to cast on the water. There's excess. So not only do you get blessed and fed, now we can feed others with the same bread. There's not a law in the universe that says you have to take what you hear and what God uses to bless you and keep it all for yourself. I talked to a girl, it's been a year or so ago now, maybe a year and a half ago. She had some problems, and she was scared, and I certainly understand that. When you have medical problems, physical problems, it's pretty scary sometimes. And she called me up, and she said, "Bob, I want you to pray for me." She said, I want to live, and I just want to live to be a witness for the Lord. Now, best I know, this girl never went to church before, and since she got well and everything worked out, she hadn't gone to church any since. But she said she just wanted to live so she could be a witness for Him. People say that kind of stuff all the time, and then they sit around and they never do anything. They sit in church and you say, "Well, you ought to be a witness." They say, "Yep, you're right, preacher. I need to be a witness for Jesus." But then they don't get up and do it. What we need is somebody that will take the bread they got and actually go out and give it to somebody, cast it upon the water. Don't just talk about it and theorize about it and acknowledge that you ought to. What you need to do is get up and actually do it. Get your handful of tracts and put them out. When you meet somebody, ask them to church. you're with your family and friends and the people you work with, look for an opportunity to talk to them about God. Now, you can find an opportunity if you're looking for it. So, well, I'm not good at that kind of stuff. Well, you get better with practice. So, well, I never get an opening. Oh, make one. So, well, I'm just waiting for God to open the door. No, kick it open yourself. Live by faith. I'm telling you about this fellow. He got saved, and he'd been rough. I mean, he'd been really rough. And he worked with a bunch of guys, and they was rough. And he wanted to witness to them, but he couldn't figure out how to bring it up. And every day at lunch, he'd say, I'm gonna witness to them. But he just never could get an open door, you know. He just never could get a clear shot. And he was getting frustrated because he was just dying to tell them how he got saved and what God did for him. So one day, they're back there sitting on the loading dock, you know, and they all opened their lunch box. And this one guy flipped open his lunchbox and he had a bunch of Playboy bunnies in the top of it. And the guy looked at that and he said, here's my chance. He said, ain't them girls good at y'all's church? Well, you know, they thought he was crazy, but he got the door open. Then he got to start with it where they said, you know, they didn't go to church, blah, blah. He got that door open. He said, well, that's a roundabout way. Yeah. I thought it was pretty imaginative myself. Amen. I just couldn't do that. Sure you could. If you really wanted to. If you were concerned about people dying and going to hell without Jesus Christ, you'd be concerned enough to try and find some way to cast your bread upon the water. And you could be imaginative and inventive about it. And you could find a way if you're looking for one. You got somebody you want to witness to and you're intimidated or whatever, stick it on the windshield wiper of their car, put a gospel track on it. Write a big long letter and send it anonymously. When I first got saved, I sat at the kitchen table and I wrote letters. I'm talking about 15, 20 pages. I wrote letters. Wouldn't go in an envelope. I had to get them big manila things. I wrote letters to my mom and dad, all my brothers. Big old letters. Telling them what God did for me and the peace he gave me. And I 15, 20 pages, and I mailed them things to every one of them. I went out and bought every last one of them a Bible and sent it to them in the mail. Because they're lost. They're going to hell. They're going to die without God. And hell is a real place. Cast your bread upon the waters. You get fed by it, then they get fed by it. Then let me close with this. Here's the punchline. If you don't share your bread, many will go hungry. If you don't share what you got, a lot of folks you know will starve to death spiritually. Are you going to run across people that I am never going to see? Well, the preacher ought to be preaching to them. The preacher ought to be witnessing. The preacher ought to be putting out. You're right. I'm supposed to do that just like you are. The problem is, I'm in one place and you're somewhere else. And the people that come across your path and the people that are in your life and the people you can impact, I not only don't know them, I will probably never see them. So if you don't share your bread with them, if you don't cast your bread upon the waters, they'll starve to death spiritually. They will go hungry. Now, it's a terrible thing to starve to death. It's a terrible thing to be hungry. When you're hungry, you want to be fed. You're looking for something. I've got real bad hypoglycemia. And I normally keep all kind of little snacks and stuff in my lunchbox. I munch. I eat three regular meals a day, and then I eat four or five little ones. Because my blood sugar drops, and sometimes I'm just like this. And in 30 minutes, I can't stand up. And it takes me hours to get over it. So I just try and prevent it. So I keep me a pack of crackers, a piece of fruit, something. Yesterday, we were out riding around with the Jacobs, and we were up in the mountains of North Carolina, and they ate big old breakfast, and so we weren't going to eat lunch till late. Well, that bowl of cereal I had yesterday morning, buddy, it disappeared. And I told my wife, I said, we're going to find something to eat. I knew I was in trouble. So we fiddled around. It took us another 45 minutes to get to a place to eat. And by the time we got to the table and sat down, I wasn't standing up. I just went straight to the table and sat down. I was getting so weak I couldn't stand up. My hands had started shaking. In another 15, 20 minutes, I'd have been a total disaster. I needed to eat. Now, I sat there and ate dinner. I actually ate more than I should have ate. But in about 20 or 30 minutes, stomach calmed down, nerves calmed down, I was good to go. But I needed food. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a whole multitude of people out there that spiritually need food. They're starving to death. They're sick. They're weak. They're confused. They can't stand on their own. They have no strength of their own. They need the food that you've got. They need the Word of God, and you got it. And you could share it. You could give it to them. But we won't cast it up on the waters. And if you and I don't share the bread that God gave us, many people will go hungry. You ever see these advertisements on TV about, you know, if you'll give $10 a month, you can feed this little boy, this little girl. It's only 26 cents a day or whatever it is, you know, and you can get them a toothbrush and a bar of soap and a bowl of rice every day for 20 cents. And they show you them little boys and girls, they got them big old round brown eyes. They got little old rounded bellies all distended because they're hungry, malnourished. Little faces and hands are dirty, and you can see the tear streaks running down. I don't know about you, every time I see one of the things, I want to give. Now, I always worry about how honest things are. A lot of them things are crooked as a dog's hind leg, but that little boy still needs to eat. There are millions of folks out there spiritually just like that. Just like that, hungry, malnourished, desiring to be fed, willing to take any kind of crumb, anything you'll give them, they'll take it and they'll appreciate it. And here we have the Word of God. We've got that King James Bible. We can quote its verses. We talk about our God's love and how He's not willing that any should perish. Then we sit down and we don't share the bread. What a tragedy. How many people around you who are well-fed and well-dressed are sick and anemic spiritually, and you have the wherewithal, you've got the bread of life, you could share it, and we won't cast it upon the water? The honest truth is, we're going to have a lot to answer for when we get home to glory. We could have done this, and we could have done that, but because we were embarrassed or intimidated or whatever reason, too busy or too indifferent or too cold or too hard or too backslid, we didn't. We could have just cast the bread on the water. And we didn't. We had the bread. We have the Word of life. We got the Word of God. We got more than we could ever use. By here. Father, we thank you now for your goodness and your mercy. Lord,